foreman. I forgot him. Sidekick, Bodo. And he's been through a lot of stuff. 20-something years he is around there. But I'll have him out tomorrow night at Corinth. And funeral's Friday morning at 10 at Corinth. Take him over to the little cemetery side of his house and bury him. So, and ain't but one Bodo.
One of them, that's for sure.
I told them when we was making arrangements, I said, if you ain't got some overalls in that sack there, you going back home and get some, because I never seen him in nothing but his overalls. But they did. They had them in there. So. All right, Ezekiel 45. Ezekiel 45. And right smack dab, and you know, the Lord divided up the promised land into 12 portions, you know, and one portion for each tribe. And right smack dab in the middle of it tonight, the Lord is going to allot the temple, and he's going to place it right in the middle of those 12 tribes and what they're doing. And I thought my commentator put a little note there and said, God is central to life. So where should he be in all of our lives? In the very center of who we are, should he? And that's the way he's doing his temple here and stuff. But just like this old world that we are living in today, greed and extortion and stuff has just destroyed a nation of people, you know. And they were two of the major social sins that the people had, you know, and one trying to outdo the other and their hearts and their lives and what was going on. But, you know, what kind of land are they in? What did God say about the promised land? Was it a dried up desert? Is it a land that was flowing in what? Milk and honey. Very prosperous. Well, the finest land that there was. And if people prosper, you're going to see it, aren't you? And then the improvements that they make to their homes, their land, their stuff and things, and what they were doing. And so we have people being greedy here and trying to extort from their neighbors their possessions and stuff. I mean, there's plenty to go around. They don't have to do that. Said, when they allot the land as an inheritance, you are to present it to the Lord, a portion of the land, as a sacred district or a holy place, 25,000 cubits long and 20,000 cubits wide. The entire area will be holy. So he's talking about an area here 7 miles long and 3 miles wide that he's setting aside right in the center of everything, and it's to be holy. Verse 2 said, of this, a section or 500 cubic squares is to be for the sanctuary, with 50 cubits around it for open land. Going to have camp meeting. People come to town, there's no way to the thousands of folks that come to prepare. But he's got this courtyard that I can imagine in my mind, you know. And he said, in the sacred district, measure off a section 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 cubits wide. In it will be the sanctuary, the most holy place. It'll be the sacred portion of the land for the priest who minister in the sanctuary and who draw near to minister before the Lord. See, again, all that they do, the priests are not to work. What are they to do? Take care of the temple, take care of the sacred place, the sanctum sanctorum, all the duties that they have and stuff. And how are they supposed to support themselves? The other living tribes, when they make their grain offerings or feast on whatever the portion that's not used for the sacrifice goes to the Levites. And he said here, an area 25,000 cubits long, 10,000 cubits wide will belong to the Levites who serve in the temple as their possession for towns to live in. And in this square area that's set aside here, that's where they're to build their towns, their cities, their communities to live in. You are to give the city as its property an area of 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 cubits long, adjoining the sacred portion, and it will belong to the whole house of Israel. So he placed within them a city limit where they could come in and live within this, just like the whole house of Israel. The prince will have the land bordering each side of the area formed by the sacred district and the properties of the city. It will extend westward from the east, from the west, and eastward from the east side, running lengthwise from the western to the eastern border, parallel to one of the tribal portions. The land will be his possession in Israel, and my princesses will no longer oppress my people, but will allow the house of Israel to possess the land according to their what? Tribes. The 12 tribes of Israel. There's 11 now. We know what's going to become of the Levites. They got their portion. The temple's got their portion in the house of God. And then the church has its gathering place where it's at. Each of these has, you got to have law and order. You got to have rules and stuff. And he calls them prince here. And we know the chief prince is the Lord. And so verse 9 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You have gone far enough, O princesses of Israel. Give up your violence and your oppressions and do what is just and right. What's God telling Ezekiel to tell him? Enough's enough. Now you have mistreated these folks. You've let your greed and you've led your extortion of them to take away from them that which is theirs. Said, it's not going to happen anymore. Give up your violence. Give up your oppression. Do what's just and right. Stop dispossessing my people, declares the sovereign Lord. What do you think would the Lord say about what's going over there today, and Israel fighting for their lives, and all the things that's happening, God gave each one of them their portion. But just like many of us in the same situation, more we get, more we want. Thank you. Stop dispossessing my people. You are to use accurate scales, an accurate Ephraim, and an accurate bath. Ephraim is a dry, like feed and chicken feed and dog food and all of those kinds of things. And a bath was the liquid, like the cooking oils and things of that nature that you. The apron and the bath are to be the same size. The bath containing a tenth of a homer, and the apron a tenth of a homer. The homer is to be the standard measure for both. The shekel is to consist of 20 gerahs. 20 shekels plus 25 shekels plus 15 shekels equals one mina. I'm proud I had a dime and a nickel and a quarter and a penny to deal with. I didn't have to deal with all of them, but I got a little footnote down here that tells them what they are. I'll read them to you. An ephraim was a dry measure. A bath was a liquid measure, like oil and stuff of that nature, milk and all. A homer was a dry measure. A shekel weighed about 2/5 of an ounce, or about 111.5 of grams of 60 shekels. The common mina was 50 shekels. Traditionally, peace offerings, and also in this, is probably about 4 quarts or a liter. I got the tickle when I was studying this. I said, poor mama. She never measured nothing. She just dab of this and dab of that and pour a little in and put her flour in, and then biscuits come out perfect. And a cornbread, you couldn't beat her, you know, and stuff. And some of my nieces and stuff, and they just come, Grandma, won't you teach me how to, how much do you, or they'll call her on the phone, I'm baking a cake. What did you do? She said, I put a pinch of this and a pinch. And she had her own scales, you know. Many of you know what I'm talking about, and that and what you're doing in your heart and your life, and the things that she's doing. 18, is that where I left off? No, I got to back up for that. 12. I was trying to hurry us on through. Huh? This is a special gift you're to offer. A sixth of an ephraim from each homer of bread, wheat, or barley, and a sixth of an ephraim from each homer of barley, the prescribed portion of oil measured by the bath is a tenth of a bath from each core, which consists of 10 baths of one homer. For 10 baths are equal to a homer. Y'all confused yet? Boy, I don't think she's making dumplings here, you know. I think perhaps, and if she's making biscuits, they're going to be some whoppers. Yeah. Also, get off the bread and the liquid, he said. Also, one sheep is to be taken from every flock of 200 from the well-watered pastures of Israel. These will be used for the grain offerings, burnt offerings, and fellowship offerings. Offerings to be made in atonement for the people, declares the sovereign Lord. All the people of the land will participate in this special gift for the use of the prince of Israel. So we know that they had these 3 days, you know, the feast days and the Passover to commemorate, you know, the death angel passing over that went blood on the doorpost, the male child, oldest in that family died. The feast days, they come together to celebrate the manna that the Lord rained down from heaven concerning this in their hearts and their lives and their things that they do. So He's saying here that these will be used for the grain offering, burnt offering, fellowship offering, to make atonement for the people, declares the sovereign Lord. All the people of the land will participate in this special gift for the use of the prince of Israel. It will be the duty of the prince to provide the burnt offering, grain offering, and drink offering at the festivals, the new moons, and the Sabbaths, at all the appointed feasts of the house of Israel. He will provide the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and fellowship offerings to make atonement for the house of Israel. So the prince, or the governor, or the ruler over the tribes of those days, they had responsibility to see to it that the proper offerings were in place for the celebrations of these different days that the Lord required for them to share in. Verse 18 says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In the first month and on the first day, you are to take a young bull without defect and purify the sanctuary. Remember Sunday night? I told you, using that communion table and the lip that was up and the four corners and the emblem that was on the four corners, and what did they sprinkle the blood on it for? To cleanse it, purify it, get it ready for these offerings that he's fixing to talk about. Now, he said, on the first day, you are to take a young bull without defect and purify the sanctuary. The priest is to take some of the blood of the sin offering and put it on the doorpost of the temple, on the four corners of the upper ledge of the altar, like we showed you on the communion table, and on the gatepost of the inner court. You are to do the same on the seventh day of the month for anyone who sins unintentionally or through ignorance. So you are to make atonement for the temple. There was provisions made. We all make mistakes. We all may have do something not intentionally, but he said, even if it's in ignorance, you know, you can make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day, you are to observe the Passover, a feast lasting 7 days, during which you shall eat bread made without yeast. Why'd they do that? When the Lord told them, get up and get out of the 40 years out there, they packed their stuff up right quick, like the women didn't have time to put any yeast and let the bread rise. They were eating that bread, what'd you call it?
Flat.
Yep. And no rising, you know, we've all seen, and some people are better at it than others, making yeast rolls and stuff and various things. Yeah. But it's to remind them of how fast they had to go to go in and possess the land and do what the Lord told them. Didn't have time to make the bread the way they were used to. And so they were doing the best they could do at that time. And in the first month, on the 14th day, you are to observe the Passover, feast lasting 7 days, during which you shall eat bread that's made without yeast. On that day, the prince is to provide you a bull as a sin offering for himself and for all the people of the land. Every day during the 7 days of the feast, he is to provide seven bulls and seven rams without defect as a burnt offering to the Lord, and a male goat for a sin offering. He is to provide as a grain offering, an ephah for each bull, and an ephah for each ram, along with a hint of oil for each ephah, or each, I want to call it a bushel, but it's like two-thirds of a bushel. Now, you got to remember, it wasn't just like mama cooking for all of her bunch. They was cooking for a nation of people. And what's taking place there, and what's happening in their hearts and their lives concerning that, and what he would have them to do when he wanted to see them do that, and their heart and their lives. So we see that. During the 7 days of the feast, each begins in the seventh month on the 15th day. He is to make the same provision for sin, offerings, burnt offerings, grain offerings, and oil. All that grain, wheat, barley, oats, whatever they may be using to make whatever particular meal they may be preparing with, had to have the oil for it, didn't it? And where'd they get their oil? Olive oil, that's right. And what they were able to produce from that. And I'm sure, you know, they had all the ingredients and stuff. They could turn that into something good pretty fast, you know. I'm sure they were desserts fixed as well as the main course meal, the meat and the stuff that was provided, the bread and the stuff that was prepared, the wine, the oil for the refreshment. They were faring sumptuously, but all at the hand of who? Yep, when he said you're to present a bull without blemish, he wanted the very best, didn't he? Yeah, and he said a ram, and then he said a goat. Why is the difference between a ram and a goat? What did the goat represent? The sin offering, right? And so out of that sin offering, you know, the people were able to come clean of the sin and wrong that was in their hearts and their lives. So he's protected them all these 40 years. They've been traveling through the wilderness out there. Going to take care of them. Chapter 46. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. The gate of the inner court facing east is to be shut on the 6th working days. But on the Sabbath day and on the day of the new moon, it is to be opened. The prince is to enter from the outside through the portico or the porches of the gateway and stand by the gatepost. The priest are to sacrifice his burnt offerings and his fellowship offerings. He is to worship at the threshold of the gateway and then go out. But the gate will not be shut until evening. On the Sabbath and new moons, the people of the land are to worship in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to that gateway. What are we told to do? Remember what? The Sabbath, do what with it?
Keep it holy.
Keep it holy, that's right. And he's saying here, 6 days a week, shut it. Seventh day, open it and open the gates where they can come inside the city so they can come in and worship. And The gates will be left where he can go and come even to evening. Verse 3 says, on the Sabbath and new moons, the people of the land are to worship in the presence of the Lord at the entrance to the gateway. The burnt offerings the prince brings to the Lord on the Sabbath day is to be 6 male lambs and a ram, all without defect. The grain offerings given with the ram is to be an ephah. And the grain offerings with the lambs to be as much as he pleases, along with a hin of oil for each ephah. On the day of the new moon, he is to offer a young bull, 6 lambs and a ram, all without defect. He's to provide as a grain offering 1 ephah with the bull, an ephah with the ram, and with the lambs as much as he wants to give them, along with a hint of oil in each ephah. When the prince enters, he is to go in through the portico of the gateway, and he is to come out the same way. Why was he to go in, turn around, and come right back out? When the Lord went into the temple, what did he do? Man can't be where he is, can he? Let's see what he says about it in a few minutes. Verse 9 says, when the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feast, whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out the south gate. And whoever enters in by the south gate is to go out by the north gate. I have to think of that as how the funeral home, like especially Coco's before he redone, you know. One way in, one way out. You went in, you come back the same way, you know. But the Lord's fixed what? If you go in this way, you come out that way. He's got you a way of going. And no one is to return through the gate by which he entered, but each is to go out the opposite gate. The prince is to be among them, going in when they go in and going out when they go out. He's to go in because he's the keeper of the temple, isn't he? And the offering of the incense and accepting the sacrifice and doing all the things that it's his responsibility to do. And it's hard. Every day you are to provide a year-old lamb without defect for a burnt offering to the Lord. Morning by morning, you shall provide it. You're also to provide with it, morning by morning, a grain offering, consisting of a sixth of an ephah, and with a third of a hin of oil, to moisten the flour. Sound like they're making bread again, don't it? And their heart and their life. And when the prince provides a free will offering to the Lord, whether a burnt offering or a fellowship offering, the gate facing the east is to be open for him. He shall offer his burnt offering or his fellowship offering as he does on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and after he's gone out, the gate will be shut. And so he has given them specific ways of worship here, offering their sacrifice. But I thought about that. I said to myself, I said, how in the world? You know, but they had to have some rule of order. Because we're not talking about a few hundred people. We're talking about hundreds of folks, thousands of folks, you know. And they had to have a rule of order, sense to be able to do what the Lord wanted him to do without having chaos. You know, I know Brother Travis, he'd get to pushing and pulling, and you butting and getting hit back. You ain't going to butt ahead of me. They'd been in a free-for-all in a little while, wouldn't it? Even with his back hurt, he'd stand his ground, couldn't you? I love you, buddy. Morning after morning after morning, you'd think, well, that poor shepherd, he's going to run out of sheep, you know. But that ain't what it was intended to be. How many shepherds are out there? 11 tribes. And out of them tribes, Lord knows how many, you know, were there, some caring for the donkeys, some caring for the sheep, some caring for the goats, some doing this, some doing that in their heart and their life. But when it come to giving to the Lord, he told them exactly what he wanted, and he told them that it is to be without spot or blemish in their hearts and their lives and things that they're doing. So he said the presenting of this grain offering to the Lord is a lasting ordinance. So the lamb and the grain offering and the oil shall be provided morning by morning for a regular burnt offering. This is what the sovereign Lord said. If the prince makes a gift from his inheritance to one of his sons, it will also belong to his descendants. It is to be their property by inheritance. So this ruler, he's getting older, and he's got his possessions, and I'm sure he's wealthy, and all of this, some probably by the oppression and the greed that he treated the people by, but he wants to turn it over to his son. The firstborn son gets what? Huh? All right. Half of the inheritance. And you're right. You're right as far as what you're saying. But he said it will be a possession of the descendant, and it'll be their property by inheritance. Then the if, however, he makes a gift from his inheritance to one of his servants. He had an old faithful servant out there that cared for his needs or worked in the house for his wife and was just so good and he wanted to leave a little something to her. He said here that the servant may keep it until the year of freedom. What's a year of freedom? Every 7 years, what happened? They turned everybody loose, didn't they? Everybody got a fresh start, you know? And so then it will revert to the prince. After 7 years, he's got it, he keeps it, he enjoys it. But when he's set free and he's no longer a servant, then it reverts back to the prince. His inheritance belongs to his sons only. It's theirs. The prince must not take any of the inheritance of the people, driving them off of their property. He is to give his sons and their inheritance out of his own property, so that none of the people will be separated from his property. So what are these to do? He said, give out of his own property, his own possession. Don't take what Brian's got or Teresa's got and give it to your sons. You got plenty. You use yours. And then Brian and Teresa will have it to give to their children and do what's right. Verse 19 said, then the man brought me through the entrance to the side of the gate of the sacred rooms facing north, which belonged to the priest. What was it, 30 of them that was built down that side? And showed me a place at the western end. He said to me, this is the place where the priest will cook the guilt offerings and the sin offerings and bake the grain offerings to avoid bringing them into the outer court and consecrating the people. We thought outdoor kitchens was a fad of today, didn't we? They had an outdoor kitchen back then, and all the, you know, earlier we found the way that he told them to prepare stuff and where to butcher it and how to purify the tables and all that stuff that we did. And so now they get to cook it. Verse 21 says, he then brought me to the outer court, and he led me around to its four corners. And I saw in each corner another court. And the four corners of the outer court were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. Each of the courts in the four corners was the same size. Around the inside of each of the four courts was a ledge of stone, with places for fire to be built all around under the ledge. He said to me, these are the kitchens where those who minister at the temple will cook the sacrifice of the people. Thought I was kidding when I said the first outdoor kitchen, didn't I? But that's... Sir? That's right, yeah. I can tell you this. God don't miss nothing, does he? Everything he's doing for these thousands and thousands and millions of people, he had it right down to a science of what is to be done. Now, if he did that for them, what do you think he's doing for me and you today? What's he going to say? Now, look, Larry, what you got? You got four of y'all? Well, we put you over in this side room over here, you know. It's pretty small, but it'll be big enough. Whoop, them Brennans, there's a bunch of them. We've got to get them something bigger, you know. That ain't the way he operates, is he? He's prepared a place, especially for you, especially for me. And I believe with all my heart it's getting closer and closer. Absolutely. Any comment, any question, anything you want to share?
So he showed Ezekiel all this. So it's not something happened yet. It hasn't happened yet, right? This is all about to take place.
Here with this, what's going to replace all of this is when Jesus entered in this, the scene.
What we're reading right now.
Yeah. Right. He's going to bring them out of bondage. He's going to go in and they're going to possess the land. And, yeah. But then they're going to lose the land, you know. It's going to go to Nebuchadnezzar and the temple's going to be destroyed and they're going to have to rebuild it. Not going to be rebuilt as much as Solomon built it when he built it, you know, and stuff. So, yeah. You better believe it. And if he, all these dimensions that we went over earlier, when he told them how to build a temple, you know, and Uzziah saw fit enough, even though he was a leper, to, oh, and he's a leper because he tried to be God, you know, he tried to go in and offer the incense and sacrifices and stuff. But 2.5 years, to rebuild this, But you know, it was a mass production. Everybody had to, left hand had to know what the right one was doing on the neighbors and stuff.
It was super.
Yep. But Chris, I'm like you, I think about that a lot. But if he could stand there in the beginning, the earth was without form and void. And God said, let there be light, and there was. And he spoke everything into being just like he wanted, just by speaking. He can have that place prepared for us. Absolutely. Any other thought? Any other comment? Brian, dismiss us, brother.